The church will appear as about to fall, but will not fall. Satan will try to destroy the little company. But we are told in Faith I Live By, page 289, that they will not yield to battle. Those who keep the commandments of God in the faith of Jesus will feel the wrath of Satan and his hosts. He will be terribly angry with them because he will control all the world but the faithful few. He'll control the apostate churches. But here is a little company who are loyal to God and are resisting his supremacy. If he could but blot them from the earth, Satan would feel that his triumphs would be complete. So he will stir up the wicked powers of earth to destroy the people of God in that hour. Their only hope will be in the mercy of God. Their only defense will be prayer. And whether they live or whether they die, they are determined to be faithful to their Creator and Lawgiver. In that time, God will be with his faithful ones, and he will be with them to the end. Quoting, "I am encouraged and blessed as I realize that the God of Israel is still guiding his people, and that he will continue to be with them even to the end." General Conference Bulletin, May 27, 1913, page 165. God will care for his faithful ones. The church, soon to enter upon her most severe conflict, will be the object most dear to God upon earth. The confederacy of evil will be stirred with power from beneath, and Satan will cast all the reproach possible upon the chosen ones whom he cannot deceive and delude with his satanic inventions and falsehoods. But exalted to be a prince and a savior, to give repentance to Israel and remission of sins, will Christ, our representative and head, close his heart or withdraw his hand, or will he falsify his promise? No, no, never, never. Testimonies to Ministers, page 20. Christ's people will not fall. They will not fail. They will go through to the end because he will help them. Quoting, "The church may appear as about to fall, but it does not fall. It remains." 7 Bible Commentary, 9:11. Now, what does that sentence mean? Listen to this. The church may appear as about to fall, but it does not fall. It remains. 7 Bible Commentary, 9:11. The above passage, taken from Letter 55, 1886, has been quoted repeatedly. But here is a complete list in currently published books. Maranatha, 203. Maranatha, page 32. Manuscript Releases, volume 12, 324. Reflecting Christ, 226. Two Selected Messages, 380. 7 Bible Commentary, 911. Upward Look, 356. Now, in the process of looking all of those quotations up, one was found which had the complete letter. It is Two Selected Messages, 376, paragraph 1, to 383, paragraph 1. That is indeed fortunate, for only recently we had found most of the letter only in the unpublished manuscripts, which we are in the process of printing under the title, The Last Days. The portion found in The Last Days is quoted below. Now, two facts will help us understand the above quotation, which says the church will appear as about to fall, but does not fall. First, according to the spirit of prophecy, the church, quote unquote, is the commandment-keeping people of God. Now, God's church is his faithful, obedient children, plus tares. Now, unless the tares repent, those apostates will fall, but those who remain dedicated will not. By their continued loyalty to God and obedience by faith in Christ to his commandments, the faithful will remain true to their heavenly Father. So the church will appear as about to fall, but will not fall. Yet, so many superficial believers will go out from among us in that hour of great crisis when the National Sunday Law is enacted that For a time, it may appear as if the entire church body is disappearing. When the governmental iron fist of Sunday law enforcement comes, Sabbath keepers will make rapid decisions which will determine their eternal destiny. Some will decide this, some will decide that. Now, second, the context of the paragraph quoted above, that is, the church may appear as about to fall, but it does not fall, it remains, quote unquote, reveals this. The about to fall event culminates in the national Sunday law crisis. Now, that is what the context of that paragraph tells us. It will be the national Sunday law enactment which will very nearly overthrow the church. And that, although the disobedient will depart from the faith, God's own who love and obey his word will not fall, but go through to the end. Now, thus, the not fall sentence is referring not to the entire membership, nor to the organizational structure, but only those in the church who unswervingly remain faithful and obedient to the commandments of God through the enabling grace of Jesus Christ, his Son. Those who will not fall are the commandment-keeping people of God in the church. It's not the structure, it's not the organization. That is not the church. It's the commandment-keeping people of God. Already, my friend, there are many modernists, compromisers, apostates among us. What a severe crisis the National Sunday Law will bring upon us when, at first, it appears there are hardly any believers yet remaining. Now, keep in mind that on October 21, 1844, there were, according to different estimates, only 50,000 to 100,000 Millerites, whereas on October 23, there were only 50. The situation can change very fast. Fortunately, we now have the context of the above will not fall passage. Part of letter 55, 1886, is included in an unreleased statement of manuscript statements which we have printed in our lengthy study of the last days. And as I've said, it's also in two selected messages, 376 to 383. In all the published reprints, with the exception of the two selected message passage, the full context of letter 55, 1886 had never been presented. That fuller context is a typical discussion of the Sunday law crisis. And it mentions the national Sunday law, Satan's miracles, and governmental demands. It speaks about the apparent fall of the church and how only the sinners are sifted out, while those who remain, those not sifted out, that is a remnant, will be the ones who maintain their obedience to God's laws. So it will be the national Sunday law crisis which will cause the false professors in our church to depart. And that which remains will be the true professors. Now, the passages tell us nothing about what will happen to the church structure. It says nothing about the organization, the General Conference Corporation, and all that. Yet, that is the application commonly made to the church will not fall paragraph. Section 5, at that time, a majority of our people will forsake us. The church, quote unquote, will be tested individually, one by one. We will not be tested as an organization, a union, a conference, or a local church. The testing will be personally applied and experienced, and the decisions will be individually made. It is very important that we understand that it will all occur on an individual basis. The test does not come to groups. The test does not come to local churches or to conferences or to institutions, hospitals. It comes to individual men and women. It's not local, statewide, national organization, none of that. They cannot do our thinking for us. They cannot undergo the test for us. They cannot shelter us from having made our own decisions in the matter. We will only have God as our protector and enabler in that day. That's all we have now. In that final shaking, large numbers will leave. quoting, the shaking of God blows away multitudes like dry leaves. Four Testimonies, 89, quote, chaff like a cloud will be borne away on the wind, even from places where we see only floors of rich wheat. Five Testimonies, 81. When the law is despised, the majority will forsake the righteous. But the faithful ones will refuse to yield to the enemy. Their motto will be God and the right, obedience to the law of God, though it lead to death.